We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Hello, my name is Glenn Negus, and today I would like to talk to you about my initial impressions on what the zones that we are able to play in Legion Alpha look like to me and how I think that they play. When the Alpha started, we didn't have any zones to play in yet. We were only able to do the Demon Hunter starting zone. And in the next patch thereafter, we got High Mountain and most of Stormheim unlocked, so we could play through those two zones. The board that you unlock as a part of your artifact acquisition questline, where you initially go to your glass order halls the first time, that mission board wasn't unlocked then, but by now it is. So the purpose of that board is to start you on the quest lines, give you the breadcrumb quest to any of the zones that you want to start questing in. Usually you go back to Dalaran, and then from there you fly to the respective zone that you picked on the board. Now, endgame we don't know about yet, but that mission board is also part of the interaction with the daily, weekly, hourly, whatever quests that we get, but that is all not implemented because it is, as of this recording, 2 levels off max, since only 108 is the max level currently, and 110 is where the leveling ends for Legion. So that's where all the dailies start coming in. Now, as for the zones, as a Forsaken, I must say I prefer Stormheim the most because of the story that is told there. I'm not going to go into it at all, but let's just put it this way. I am getting so much story that is related to my race that it's awesome. It's just great. I played most of it. With all the questing done there, it is so far the only zone that is distinct for Alliance and Horde. The other two zones are pretty much identical regardless of the faction that you play. There are minor side quest lines that you can do, in for instance Falchirah, but that is just a little, as I said, a little side quest. The two main quest lines in High Mountain, that's the third zone that we can currently play, as well as the zone that I mentioned before, Valcherah, they have a faction neutral questing experience, which I find somewhat sad because I get that we have to work together. But on the other hand, I still see that there is friction between the two factions, and I would like to see a little more of that with the questing experience in Stormheim. You quest with the Forsaken as a Horde player and with the Ghilnean forces as an Alliance player. In High Mountain, you literally try to unite the three main Tauren tribes, and in Valcherah you just have to quest with the druids that call Valcherah their home. That's also the zone where the druid glass order hall is, so it's not in Moonglade as many had expected it to be before we got details on the story of Legion. Overall, I can say that for me personally, although, as I said, I'm a Forsaken, the lore aspect of the game is strongest in Valshara for me, followed very closely by Stormheim, and a quite distant third is for me at the moment High Mountain. Not that I don't like it, but it lacks the, how shall I put this? There is no big culminating event. There is nothing major going on. It's just a quote-unquote, just a playthrough and a get the tribes to come help you. If you were to ask me what zone could use a rework or a tuning or whatever, I would definitely say that High Mountain is lacking some special thing. There are some new factions being introduced in High Mountain, but that alone doesn't make my day, so to speak. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Azuna, where, as far as I can see from what people told us, we are going to fight the Naga and fight some more Vrykul. Not the normal Vrykul that we know, but in the form of Kvaldir, the version of the Vrykul that we know from Northrend, from the coastal parts, like Borean Tundra, down where the Kaluak are located, as well as off the coast of the Argent Tournament Grounds in Ice Crown, with the island up north, where we find some Kvaldir. We get to, in a, so to say, B story in Stormheim, we get to experience some of the backstory of the Kvaldir and how they got to what they are and who is responsible for that. But it's still not the entire story, so I hope that with the unlocking of Azuna, we are going to get a little more clarity and a little more unveiling of the origin story of the Kvaldir. As for people that want to know, are there going to be Titan-related stories? I can say yes, because technically the Vrykul are Titan creations, or not only technically, but they are Titan creations. So the whole thing about the Vrykul and what they turned into, all the respective subspecies, including humans, is a Titan offshoot history, if you want to call it that. But much more closely, we are going apparently to find out what happened to the Vrykul that left Northrend in the search of a new land to raise their kids that were not welcomed among the majority of the Vrykul people because they were changed due to the Curse of Flesh. If you remember in the Howling Fjord, you go and see in this little house just off the Alliance base, if you played Alliance, you see this image of the past where a couple finds out that their kid is not what they hoped it to be, but a little weak mini version of themselves, and basically the King Ymiron, he basically ordered all the couples that had these misshaped children, he ordered them to kill them because he wouldn't have any weak offspring in his community because he thought that they would make the whole race weak. And quite a few of the people said, we're not going to take this, we are going to leave with our kids instead of killing them, because we would rather have our kids survive than kill our kids. So that's what they did, and many of them ended up on the Broken Isles. And how they fared, that's apparently one part of the story that we get to see during Legion. We also get more Valkyr stories in Stormheim, and since Valkyrs are technically Vrykul, that ties into the Titans as well. So be prepared for a whole lot of Titan history, Titan story, or like maybe not Titan history, but history about some of the Titan creations. That would fit it much better. Also, the Pillars of Creation, I think is what they call, that we quest for in the end, are Titan creations, and we need those to seal off the portal that all the demons flood in through. So it's going to be basically, we need the help of Titan technology to stop the invasion of the Burning Legion. As for the Naga in Azuna, we really don't know what's going to happen, if we are going to see Ashara or not. What I saw when I flew over the zone was a big pit lord standing in a pit, really literally. And I'm sure that I saw when I moused over him that he was a quest mob. So there is heavy Legion influence, I would say, since a pit lord is no small creature. We haven't seen many of them yet, so I'm really anxious to go play it. But pretty much that covers my little overview over the current content that we can play lore-wise and zone-wise. I'm not going to go into all the other stuff like professions and crafting and transmog and all that stuff. That's going to be a thing for another time. This one was purely zones and lore and what to expect in the zones themselves. One thing I want to mention though, people said that with the artifacts we don't have any more weapon drops. What I've observed is that the occasional weapon, although it has some name and then it has the PH tag for placeholder, I think that they will not totally get rid of the weapon drops. They might get rid of the quest reward weapons, but think of it as you are only playing a main spec and you don't know if you really want to go through with the other specs, but you want to like dabble with them a little and see here and there, but you don't want to go through, or you have not unlocked the possibility or the ability rather to play the second or third or fourth quest chain for another artifact, so you still need a weapon to play. And if you are say 107, 108, you need a capable weapon at that time, and you won't be able to use a 100 weapon from Draenor because that is simply not powerful enough. So I think that they are keeping in the occasional blue or green drops so that people can save the weapon for an eventual off-spec weapon if they choose not to do the artifact quest line again for a additional artifact. Alright, this should be it for me for this week. If you have questions, suggestions, or any other comments, you can tweet me at GrandNegus1. You can write in with an email, towerofcommerce@gmail.com, or you can write the show at corpserunradio@gmail.com. This has been Grand Negus, rule of acquisition number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello everyone! Voshera opened up on the Legion Alpha servers, and I thought it would be a good idea to sit down and talk about the main story of the Zone. For those that want to see everything the Zone has to offer, tomorrow I'll upload the full playthrough, so you can see some of the details I won't be talking about today, and then later this week I'll upload a video discussing the major second story in the Zone about two characters that I'm not gonna spoil right now. Speaking of spoilers, as described in the title and the description, this video will be about Legion Alpha, so spoilers ahead. If you don't want any spoilers, then let me just say thank you very much for watching so far, and please turn off the video right now. Let's begin, shall we? Volshera, a druid paradise. This is the place where Malfurion Stormrage was trained by the demigod Cenarius in the ways of the druids, and were sent in to retrieve an artifact called the Tears of Alun. These tears are needed to seal the tomb of Sargeras and stop the Legion invasion. So together with Malfurion, we go into the Zone to call upon Cenarius and find out where they're safeguarding the tears. The first druids have molded this area to be a reflection of the Emerald Dream, yet as we reach the Grove Cenarius, we find out that not everything is so perfect. Cenarius is paralyzed on the ground, being corrupted, and we need the aid of the Archdruids to help him out. We're sent to the Archdruid of Lore, Elofir, and after assisting him with taking out some of the harpies and curing his elder disciples, he joins us at the Grove of Cenarius. We're sent to Coda Steelclaw, Archdruid of the Claw, but in order to reach her slumbering body within the Barrow Dens, we'll first have to go through the aggressive fur bogs in the area. They have been corrupted, so we take them out, as well as helping out Elder Sook by saving his nephew and appointing him as the new tribe leader. With that done, we make our way into the den and we wake up Coda.
The dream was clouded with such darkness.
The Barrow Den is under assault by dark magic, so it's up to us to clear out the invaders, wake up the fellow druids of our clan, and take out the satyr called Morphiel, who is the source behind the dark magic. With that done, Coda Steelclaw joins us at the Grove of Cenarius. The final archdruid is the archdruid of the Vale, Theon Moonclaw, and of course, he's dealing with his own problems. After the War of the Ancients, they rounded up all the satyrs, and Theon wanted to execute them on the spot. Instead, his fellow druids convinced him to show mercy, and they placed the satyrs in an eternal slumber beneath the roots of Shaladrassil. This weakness turned out to be a big mistake, since the satyrs, they've now woken up and they are attacking Theon's grove. We assist him with taking out Zandrix the Dishonored. We also take out Kagrix, while Theon focuses on a darker presence that he can sense lurking in the area. Evil Night Whispers informs us that this darker presence is actually Xavius, and we quickly have to inform Theon before it's too late.
He put up quite a fight, but your Arc Druid belongs to me now.
Theon has been taken by the nightmare, so we take him out and we meet up with Malfurion and the remaining Archdruids at the Grove of Cenarius. Now before we continue the storyline, let me first explain a little bit of the lore that's already been established that's going behind this storyline. Back during the War of the Ancients, over 10,000 years ago, Azshara and a Highborn were dabbling with magics beyond her understanding, or their understanding even. Her advisor Xavius, Professor X and her advisor Xavius had made contact with the Titus Sargeras, and their queen decided it would be a very good idea to bring this Dark Lord into the world and purge the world. So, they worked on using the powers of the Well to create a portal strong enough to summon Sargeras, and in the meantime they summoned beings like Archimonde, Manaroth, there was the Houndmaster Hakkar, all kinds of things, but the main goal was to bring Sargeras into the world. Now of course, this did not go unnoticed. You know, people felt something was up. And one in particular, Malfurion Stormrage, student of Cenarius and Druidism at the time, was having nightmares about the palace. They used the Emerald Dream to discover what was going on, and they found out what exactly Xavius and Azshara were doing. So, in a confrontation between Malfurion and Xavius, Malfurion, if memory serves, and don't quote me on this, but if memory serves, used the powers of Azeroth itself to strike down Xavius with lightning. This was not the end of the advisor. Oh no. He died near the portal, where Sargeras was waiting and lurking. And he was like, yeah, hang on a minute, you're not done yet. I still require a summon. So instead of letting him die, he took Xavier's soul, ripped it to pieces, and then reformed him into the first of the Zeder, with the mission of bringing Sargeras into the world, as well as corrupting more of the Highborn into Zeders. The story went on, and of course Xavius had some beef with Malfurion now. You don't just shoot someone with lightning and kill them and not expect them to be pissed about it. So, Xavius decided it would be a fantastic... Sorry, one, two, three. Xavius decided it would be a marvelous idea to kidnap Tyrande the Whisperwind. But oh boy, was that a bad idea, because Malfurion loved Tyrande, and you don't fuck around with the ones that he loves. In response, Xavius and Malfurion fought again, and Malfurion literally turned Xavius into a goddamn tree. Druidism is fucking awesome. So, in his tree form, the War of the Ancients played out, the Burning Legion eventually lost the war, the Well of Eternity imploded, causing the Sundering, the Land of Azeroth split apart, and formed it in today with the Maelstrom in the middle.
Illidan! The well is out of control!
Aye. It's been twisted and turned by too many spells. The fuss we, especially you, made with the portal was too much. The same spell that sent the Burning Legion back into their foul realm now works on the well. It's devouring itself and taking its surroundings with it. Fascinating, isn't it?
Not if we're caught up in it.
Now, Xavius in his tree form could feel the land ripping apart. It was painful. And eventually, he made contact with the old gods, mainly the old god N'Zoth. Together with the old god N'Zoth, Xavius infiltrated the Emerald Dream, a realm created by the Titans as they shaped Azeroth. And you gotta imagine the Emerald Dream is like what the world would have been without mortal influences or outside influences, as in, go to Elwynn Forest and, for example, the Titans created a majestic forest over there with no Stormwind Keep. In the world, you see the Stormwind Keep. In the Emerald Dream, you won't see the Stormwind Keep. That's like a very small version of the Emerald Dream. It's the realm of Ysera and the Green Dragonflight, very much connected to Druidism and demigods and scenarios and all that. Xavius got in there together with the old god N'Zoth, and they started working on corrupting it. But even better, they captured Malfurion. And now Xavius slowly but surely turned Malfurion into a tree. The events of the novel Stormrage took place, where he was tormenting Malfurion. It's giving him nightmares, fake visions. He's like, haha, we're gonna destroy the world. Look, here's Tyrande. She's making out with Illidan. You jelly? You jelly, bro? You're angry, aren't you? At the end of the book, people like Fura, Tyrande, Bro Bearmantle, and a whole bunch of others. It was like this human cartograph or something guy. They were able to save the world. They were able to save Malfurion. Malfurion and Tyrande took care of Xavius, his tree form in the real world, where Fura took care of it in the nightmare world. And together, they were able to take care of Xavius and, you know, kind of fix the situation. But the nightmare's corruption ran deep, and they were unable to completely disconnect the nightmare from the dream. They knew that one day they would have to take care of this. Now in Legion, we see that Xavius apparently wasn't taken care of. He has returned, the nightmare spreading again, and even the Legion has joined their team. That's the history behind all of this. Now back at the Grove Cenarius, we make contact with Ysera, Lady of the Dreams, since the Emerald Dream is her Green Dragonflight's territory and will surely need her help. Malfurion is about to fill her in on the situation, but there is no need. Ysera has already seen what is going on, and she tells us to go to the Temple of Alun, make contact with Lyanna's Moonfall, and tell her to release the Tears of Alun into our custody. With the Tears of Alun, we might be able to save Cenarius from the corruption, as well as fulfill the mission that we were sent for in the first place. But the temple is under heavy attack by satyrs and demons. We're asked to clear the temple grounds, collect some samples of the roots of Shaladrasil so that we can work on a cure for the corruption, and as we try to claim the Tears of Alun, Xavius shows up.
Foolish mortal! The Tears of Alun are mine now. If Malfurion wants them back so badly, he can seek me out. I'll be waiting.
We have to return to the Grove with empty hands, and sadly, the next bit is not fully implemented yet. All we get is a placeholder message, which says that Cenarius is taken by the corruption, and Malfurion, enraged, he pursues Xavius, leaving the others behind. Not even someone as powerful as Malfurion could dream of taking on Xavius by himself. So together with Ysera, we follow Malfurion's trail, we take care of some of the corruption, and then we get hit by another placeholder. This one is called ICG, Corruption of Ysera, and even though we don't see what happens, it's not hard to guess what exactly happens. Instead of Ysira, we now team up with Saranda Whisperwind, who receive visions of her beloved Malfurion, first enraged, then distressed, and now beyond her mind's reach. She tells the hero to quickly come with her in order to save Malfurion, but she's a lot more hateful when you play a Horde character. Some say that this fits her character, which is absolutely true. Saranda doesn't have a love for the Horde, but I personally feel like it doesn't fit the situation. She's looking for help, right, to save Malfurion, but yet she says things like, if he succumbs to the horrors that have befallen this land, I shall hold you personally accountable. Now gather your wits and follow me. As she kneels down at the Moonwell to focus on a vision to find where Malfurion has been taken, she asks Alliance players to guard her while she's doing this, yet she tells Horde players to make themselves useful and stand guard. It got so bad that I personally felt like abandoning the quest right there and then, leave Taranda to her fate. That's not how you respond to someone who's only there to help, as she made it seem like it was the Horde player's fault. But that's just my personal opinion about her dialogue. I'll leave it up to you to decide if you like it or not. That's a personal opinion. I wanted to put this in though, because this is the only difference that I could actually find between the Horde and Alliance questing experience, so it's only there in Taranda's dialogue, at least for now. Now back to the lore. After kneeling down and trying to locate Malfurion, we continue our journey and we encounter Archdruid Elofir, who's also been taken by the corruption. Hanging on for dear life, he tries to communicate with the forest to find Malfurion, while we fulfill his final request by taking out Varavos, Keeper of the World Seed, who's also fallen to corruption. In his last sane moments, Elofir was able to locate Malfurion. Oddly enough, he was just down the road. So we continue our journey, we interrogate a satyr, we take down Umbraxis the Cruel, while Taranda moves on ahead in hopes of saving her beloved. A beautiful cinematic takes place, in which you can clearly see what exactly happened to Ysira. Taranda Whisperwind, I have longed for this encounter for many years. Your adoring husband will be joining me in the nightmare. His was a special invitation. And our dear Ysira, would you believe she has had a change of heart? She will aid me in my conquest of Valshara, starting with your precious Temple of Alun. Such a dilemma, High Priestess. Kneel beside your beloved as he draws his final breath, or watch the temple of your goddess burn. The Queen of the Dream has also been taken by the nightmare, and Xavius gives Taranda a choice. She can either kneel down beside her beloved as he draws his final breath, or she could watch the temple of her goddess burn under Ysira's flames. There's no real choice for Taranda here though. With tears in her eyes, she leaves Malfurion behind, since she has sworn herself to Alun to defend her temples and lands with all that she is. At the temple, we end Ysira's torment, and in response, Alun weeps over her death. This is once again a cutscene placeholder, so we're not sure what the game is going to show. It could be the very first time that we get to see Alun in some way, in some shape or form, or perhaps the camera is just going to tilt up, day turns into night, and a tear drops down from the moon. Either way, whatever the cinematic's going to bring, I can't wait to see it. We have fulfilled our mission of collecting the tears of Alun, and we hand them over to Archmage Khadgar. One step closer to sealing the tomb of Sargeras and stopping this Legion invasion, but it came at a great price. Ysira seems to be dead, however, it is possible that we'll see it again. Not all the bosses of the Emerald Nightmare Raid are known at this point, and as we've seen with Cenarius in the past, he was taken out during Warcraft 3 by the orcs, but he wasn't permanently killed. Instead, his spirit was sent to the Emerald Dream, for which we brought him back during the Cataclysm, and there he helped us out in the Ragnaros fight. This is all pure speculation though, these are just ways that they could bring Ysira back. For now, all we know is that Ysira is dead. As with the other zones, the story leads into a dungeon. In this case, it's Darkheart Thicket at the roots of Shaladrassil, where we go in to save Malfurion while also taking care of the corrupted beings inside. You have Mifana, there is Archdruid Glydalis, Oakheart, and Dresseron. Now, the final boss of the dungeon is the Shade of Xavius, but even with defeating his shade and liberating Malfurion, we aren't quite done yet. This was only the Shade of Xavius. The true power remains within the nightmare, but that story will be told once the Emerald Nightmare Raid is available. Which means that for now, I'm going to say thank you very much for watching, everyone. I really hope that you enjoyed the main story within Valshara. Now, I personally really enjoyed the story told in this zone, especially the way that the zone itself reflects the story that is told. Everything's fine and dandy at the start, and as you move further through the storyline, deeper into the zone, it all becomes more and more corrupted. Druidism is very prominent here. It connects to the artifact questlines for the druids, so I'm overall overall very happy with the zone, but I would love to hear what you think in the comments down below. Like I said at the start, tomorrow I'll upload a full playthrough of the zone, and coming Thursday, if everything goes according to plan, we'll talk about the story connected to Jared Shadowsong, Maiev Shadowsong, and Blackrook Holt. This is the second major storyline in the zone. It also connects to the dungeon. I didn't want to spoil it at the start in case people don't want any spoilers. That's coming the rest of the week though. So for now, as always, subscribe if you like my videos. Leave a like if you enjoyed this one. And until next time, guys. See ya.
Hello guys, this is Doran's Movies, and in this video, I will be presenting you the Ashbringer questline. Out of the 3 Paladin artifacts, only the Ashbringer is currently available, so I will do a follow-up video on the other two once they're released in the alpha. So, without further ado, let's get into the video. As you spawn in Dalaran, you talk to Maxwell Tyrosus, who instructs you to meet with the greatest paladins at Crassus' Landing. Once you arrive there, you pick one of the 3 artifacts, one for each pack. As the Ashbringer is the only one available at the moment, for this video I will go with that. Once you decide to pick the Ashbringer, you'll learn that the Argent Crusade was defeated in the initial battle at the Broken Shore, and you need to search for their leader, Tyrion Fordring. You take a Hippogriff in order to ride to the Broken Shore. As soon as you arrive, you see a group of demons.
We move on our champion's command.
Together with the paladins, you engage in a battle, and once you manage to defeat them, you realize that only you and Maxwell survived. He instructs you to hurry and search for Tyrion. As you progress through this scorched land and fires everywhere, you see paladins being tortured and killed by demons. Eventually, as you push through all of this, you encounter Jailer Zerus breaking Tyrion. You stop the torture and engage in a boss fight with Zerus. Upon defeating him, Tyrion tells you to leave him be and to search for the Ashbringers before the demons regroup. You listen to him and enter the cave just ahead. Inside the cave, you fight failed stalkers and demons who are expecting you to arrive. Eventually, you defeat him and you see the Ashbringer. As soon as you approach the weapon, however, you hear the voice of Belnazar.
Ah, the Light's greatest champion has arrived to claim the Holy Ashbringer and lay waste to my kin.
Now, the reason why Belnazar is here is not as simple as just guarding the sword, but instead he wants to kill you and then possess your body so that once you pick up the blade and return to the paladins, he can destroy the order from within. Almost the exact same thing once happened to Sadan Detrahan, as he had possessed him and then controlled the entire Scarlet Crusade. Luckily for us, his plan fails, and after a long boss battle, you finally manage to defeat him. However, he's not dead, as he tells you that the journey has only just begun, implying that we'll be seeing more of him in this expansion. After the entire encounter, Maxwell rushes towards you and tells you that Tyrion needs to speak to you urgently. You run back, and as soon as you arrive, you notice all these Paladin reinforcements gathered around Tyrion as he gives his final speech. He tells you to stop the Legion and become the new Ashbringer. As his final breath passes, his last light fades away into the sky. After his death, you take the Hippogriff back to Dalaran, where you are instructed to rush to the Lightscope Chapel in order to bury Tyrion. Once you arrive there, you enter the chapel and you notice a hidden floor door that leads into the crypt. Apparently, the crypt is not just an underground graveyard for the Champions of the Light, as we thought previously, but an entire hidden hall known as the Sanctum of Light. As you enter, you eventually run into Maxwell, who gives you the leader position as Tyrion is dead. However, instead of the Argent Crusade, the Order of the Silver Hand is reformed once again. This puts the Argent Crusade in question, as until now the Silver Hand was just a part of it, so we don't really know what happened with the Argent Crusade. So, as the leader, you walk through the hall in order to inscribe your name into the Librum of Ancient Kings, as all of the important paladins of both the Alliance and the Horde are waiting for you. You assume the title of the High Lord of the Order of the Silver Hand as you wield the Ashbringer. So far, that is all there is for this questline. After that, you continue on a campaign against the Legion, and this is also just one of the questlines, and hopefully I can get the next few in just one video. I mainly thought I would do this one separately because of the importance of the weapon, and also the lore and the history of all the characters involved. Alright, that is all I have for this video. Now, do leave your feedback and don't forget to like and subscribe if you're not subscribed to the channel already, as it really helps out and keeps all the videos going. And thanks a lot for taking the time out of your day to watch this video, and see you next time.
I was lost and lonely, and something wasn't. So I fired up my Android for a straight up podcast night. I listened to my favorites, but I didn't feel complete. There is so much more to WoW than what you did last week. There was something missing, and I needed one more show. It's Corpse Run Radio. Well, it doesn't matter if you're a rookie or hardcore. If you're drowning in leak sauce or you're tanking on the floor, yeah. Got news and forum views, raids, music, pets, and lore. We'll answer all your questions and then we'll ask more. Our in-depth information is deeper than the dark below. It's Corpse Run Radio. Juno is the host with the most, and she's looking out for you. We hope you like our podcast. Hey, and thanks for listening too. Substandard guitar solo incoming. Send me your questions, and I'll answer them in song. If you like my answers, then I'm sure we'll get along. Send requests to toastcrawler@gmail.com if you please. I hope my answers make you smile and put your mind at ease. So please tell all your friends and everyone you know. It's Corpse Run Radio.
Corpse Run Radio.
Corpse Run Radio.
Was that my Valkyr? The Dark Lady watches over you.